In 2011, I decided that I wanted to run the Derby Festival Mini Marathon. Even though I had been a cross-country runner in high school and in college, I was far removed from that, and I had never run a distance that far in a competitive way. It was a good 3 miles past anything I had run competitively, and well past anything that would have been described as a prime. But I wanted to do this. So I did. I ran it in 2011, in April of that year, and I ran 2 hours, 38 minutes, 26 seconds. And I will tell you that within 20 minutes of crossing the finish line, there came about a 4 hour period where I thought I was not going to live. I really was pretty sure this was it. I was able to get back to my car, and then I started to head for home, and that lasted for about a block, and I ended up in a parking lot, and there's a lot of ugliness that happens after that. But it was hard. I should also tell you that while I wanted to do that, I also did nothing really beyond a bare minimum to get myself ready for it. So I reaped what I had sowed. Let me share with you. So this past summer, I have returned to running regularly and have enjoyed it, have really looked forward to going out and running distances for the first time in a very long time. So I've decided that I have a goal for myself, which is on October 19th, the Urban Bourbon Half Marathon is happening in Louisville, and I'm going to run in it. And my goals are two. One is to finish, and the second is to feel like a human being when I do, like a human being that will live beyond that afternoon. So I have begun something that I did not do last time. I searched around and I found a 12-week training program that leads me up. And the beauty of this thing is that there's no mystery to it. Every day it tells me exactly what I'm supposed to do as I get closer and closer, so that there's never a question of I wonder what today's training might be. It tells me the thing I should do. So for instance, I started last Monday. Monday was a 3 mile run. Tuesday was 5 quarter mile speed work. Wednesday was 3 miles. Thursday was an off day. I liked that day. Friday was 3 miles. And then Saturday is the day that you do your long run, so that each week it grows progressively longer. And Saturday, yesterday, began with a 5 mile run, all of which went okay. And today is another off day, yes. So that means that week one is complete. I've seen what the plan is, and for 1 week, I have accomplished the plan. So here's the thing, I know where I want to be on October 19th. And I have a map for getting there. I got a map. You train and you follow the regimen on the map. I will tell you that I also know how to not get there, because I have done that. I know that the way to not get to the place that I want to be is to ignore that 12-week training regimen and just imagine that I can pick out pieces of it and do parts of it and kind of do it as I feel like I would like to. I know what training will do, and I know what not training will do. I know the thing that I profess, the thing that I say I want to do. Now, I've not actually put out the money to register yet. That needs to come so that I'm committed in that way as well, so that I know that if you don't do this thing, you're going to have lost your registration fee. But I know what I want to do. Now it's about making choices that either accomplish the thing that I say that I want to do or not. And here is the thing. every day, and I would say except Thursday and Sunday this week, but every day is a test. Every day is a test of resolve about when you see what the thing is you're supposed to do that day, will you do it? Because in much the same way that I was talking to the kids last week about your freedom, we all have that. We can kind of know the thing that we ought to do, but then there's a choice to be made. Nobody's going to make me go do any of these things. When Paul was writing to churches, so just generally speaking, when we have a letter from Paul to a church, one of the motivators for Paul, one of the things that's making him say, I need to write to this church, is that he recognizes that for those churches, every day is a test. Every day they are going to encounter things that will test them in some way, test their faith. And beyond that, he recognizes that churches are made up of individual people, of individual Christians trying to be faithful, so that it isn't just a test each day for the community, it is a test each day for each person who's trying to live out their faith. He recognizes this. We're wrapping up 4 weeks of Paul's letter to the Colossian church this morning. And some of y'all have heard all these things already, but for anybody who missed this or hasn't, I want to just give a few bullet points about Paul and the Colossian church. Paul never personally visited this church. That's different than most of the churches that he wrote to. Most of them he knew the folks there. He'd been there. But this is one he had not visited. Instead, this is one that had been founded and was under the leadership of a man named Epaphras. And Paul knew Epaphras and so heard of Epaphras' work with the Colossian church and was excited about it and encouraged by it and wanted to write them a letter of encouragement. Again, with that underlying knowledge and awareness that whether it is a community of faith, whether it is individuals, that there's always going to be some sort of opposition. There's always going to be some sort of test that will test them. And so he wanted to offer the opposite. He wanted to offer encouragement. We also know that Paul most likely wrote this while he is in prison. So it isn't as though things are going swimmingly for Paul at this point. He is probably in prison in Ephesus, which is about 100 miles from where this church would have been. So he's writing his words of encouragement and his words about how you will face these tests and here's what you can do as you face them, as he is indeed facing and living through one of many tests in his own life. Now, back in the first week, we read from the very beginning of chapter 1. And I want to remind you of what Paul said at that point to the folks there in the Colossian church. So just a few verses from there. He's talking about how he's heard about them and how they've touched his heart and how he's praying for them. So he says, for this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God, God's will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. Paul's deepest desire is that they be filled with the knowledge of God and with spiritual wisdom. Why? Why? Because so that they may lead lives worthy of the Lord, pleasing to him, and bearing fruit, being fruitful in every good work as they grow in the knowledge of God. So simply, growing in the knowledge of God and bearing good fruit as you grow. That's the very simple message here. Paul wrote that to the Colossians. I suspect if Paul was to write a letter to Hebron, he would ask for much those same things. He would encourage us in much the same way. Those are pretty fundamental hopes for followers of Christ. I think we want those things too. I think those would be things that we would desire to be a part of our lives. But as Paul knew, so we know, each day is a test. Each day offers its own obstacles. Each day is an evaluation of how we will move. So as I have a 12-week training program, Paul is offering us a lifelong training program. Paul is saying, not just I'd love for you to be able to experience these things, but here's how. Here's how you move towards that goal of growing in Christ and bearing good fruit. This is Paul's, here's how you get there part of the of this letter. This part in chapter 3, which Charlie read for us this morning. He says, first, seek things that are above. Where Christ is, set your minds on things that are above. So have your mind on Christ. Then second, he says, turn away from behavior, and he lists some very specific examples of that behavior, but turn away from behavior that they know is not of God. So if there are actions that you know are not the appropriate way, don't do those things. And then he goes through this list of things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive language. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices. You've taken off your old self. You're not that person anymore. So you don't live in that way, you don't act in that way, and you don't interact in that way, and you don't do those things anymore. That's the recipe. Every day. That's what we're aspiring to. Turn away from impure behavior and get rid of anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language, and don't lie. There's probably more, but that's a great start if you want some practical tips on how to move forward and to keep your mind on Christ. That last group is so ordinary. I want you to remember, probably a month or so ago, we read the story of Naaman from the Old Testament. And Naaman had leprosy, and he went to Elisha, and he said, what do you want me to do? And he was wanting Elisha to give him some really awesome challenge, something that was going to really test him, and people could go, look at Naaman, that is incredible. And instead of giving him some awesome thing to do, Naaman said, go cleanse yourself in the Jordan River. That was it. And Naaman was resistant to this, but Elisha said, that's what you need to do, and Naaman did it, and he experienced wholeness as a result of it. Paul is saying to us in everyday stuff, not crazy heroic things that are really impossible for you to do, but everyday stuff to make all the difference in our lives. That list again, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive language. Let me break that down for you just a bit. That means getting mad at someone and saying unkind things to them. Getting mad at someone and being mean to them. That's what that means. Have any of you ever done that? I did yesterday. Full disclosure. I don't have to go a long way to find an instance where I regret that thing because I recognize it, but I have done it. Now you begin to see what we are up against. These are not easily set aside things. They sound like they're easy to not be for. Who wants to be for any of those things? And yet they find their way into our interactions when we feel we've been wronged, when we feel that someone's not listening as they should. There are all sorts of ways that we can feel like it's appropriate in this one instance. And that, friends, is a slippery slope. So here's the thing. I can go that way if I want to. If I wanted to go towards this side of the room, I know the way to do it. But if I tell you, the thing I really want is to go to that side of the room, there is nothing more I want in life than to go to that side of the room. That side of the room, it has a special attraction. The light comes in that way. I love that banner. I really wish to be able to go to that side of the room more than anything. My feet are telling you a different story. You see where my feet are taking me to this side of the room. There is not agreement here between the thing that I'm telling you that I want to do and the thing that is actually happening. This is why Jesus Christ is so important. This is why when you read through Paul, it all keeps coming back. There's places where you'll read through Paul and you'll read it again, and you might read it a third time just to see if it makes sense that third time, since it didn't the first two, and you might still find yourself in the weeds. But keep reading, because eventually he's going to get back to a place where he's going to pin it all on Jesus Christ and our relationship with him. This is why Jesus becomes so important to us, because that's the place to pin our attention. That is the place to pin our hopes and our dreams and the way that we imagine how the future ought to look. God sent us Christ. When Paul says, seek the things above, he doesn't mean seek the things in the sky. He's not simply saying, go outside and look up and seek those things. He means that Christ has given us a lofty example. To see something lofty, for that you must look up. And so he's saying that Paul has given us, that Christ has given us a lofty example. And what he is not saying is that Christ has given us an impossible example. He's not saying Christ has shown you the impossible way to live, do that. He's saying Christ has shown you a lofty, a better, a more perfect way to live. Do that. Paul knows that there are going to be times where we're not going to do that, where we're going to fail the test, where we're going to fall short, where we're going to choose poorly, and where we will act in ways that we will regret. So he encouraged the Colossians, and he encourages us to be aware that every day is a potential challenge to your faith. Every day is a potential challenge to who you are being called to be by God. Every day is a potential challenge to your relationship with Jesus Christ. So I believe he would say to you, stay together. Encourage one another. Be there for each other. Be accountable to each other. I will say, there are ways for me to know if I am moving towards my goal for October 19th. It's not a mystery. There are ways each day for me to know if I'm moving towards that goal. Am I doing the training or not? Am I doing the things that I know I need to do in order to get to the place where I want to go? There is an accountability level to this that I would say to you. The fact that I'm talking to you about this now, and it's not October 19th yet, is me telling you that this is a thing I want to do. And it's an invitation to you to say along the ways, are you doing the things that you said you were wanting to do in order so that you can do the thing that you want to do? Because that's what community does. We listen to each other. And we listen to our dreams, and we listen to our aspirations, and we listen to the things that we're concerned about, and then we respond to that so that when we see each other again, we can say, how is that going? How are you finding yourself in relationship to that problem or that challenge or that awesome thing that you were going to do? How is it going? There are ways for us to know if we are moving towards the things that are above, the things that are of Christ. Are we doing it or not? We go through that list that Paul listed. Are we doing those things? Or are we avoiding those things that we're not to do? And we can ask ourselves that question. We can go through that checklist and ask ourselves that question. And we can encourage one another. We can be there for each other. Not to say, you're really messing up and I don't think you're going to make it. That is not encouragement. That is judgment. It doesn't help. But to walk alongside of each other and encourage and try to bring out the best in each other and encourage each other to be that honest and authentic with each other, that I have invited you and you have invited me to say things that are true when they are good, but also to say things that are true when they may challenge me, because down the road it will make me better. It will make me more the disciple that Christ wants me to be. Hear these words again from Colossians. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is. Let us partake of this journey together. Thanks be to God. Amen.